So that same day, Jesus went out from the house and sat beside the sea. Such a great crowd gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let everyone who has ears hear." This is the living word of God. Holy God, by the power of your Spirit, inspire us, awaken in us a desire to be your hands and feet, your justice, love, and mercy in this world. Let us be inspired by this holy word, this holy day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the last couple of days I spent at Drew University. I went to a conference there, and the conference was Black Lives Matter, Disrupting Worship for Social Change, was the title, and Mark Miller was one of the leaders of the conference. And if you ever have the opportunity to be blessed and graced by having Mark Miller lead worship, it's really awesome. He was doing some really cool things. Like, he would set a familiar hymn to a Billy Joel song. Very cool. And part of our Methodist heritage, the Wesleys did that all the time. So while I was there, they would say the word kingdom instead of kingdom. Kingdom is for family rather than kingdom. Feminist scholars came up with this alternative variation of the kingdom of God to call it kingdom. They do that because it's a radical political statement. It is Jesus' alternative to the Roman Empire. It is asking God to set up God's reign on earth instead of the martial, stratified, and repressive reign of Caesar. The word kingdom is used here because the statement is political, and there is no alternative term in that world, even though God's reign through Jesus is radically upside down from Caesar's and not at all imperialistic. And so that's why they use the word kingdom instead of kingdom. This is about building God's kingdom. This is what the parables are talking about in the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And we are supposed to be builders of that kingdom together, workers in the field, people who scatter seeds. I love this image of this farmer who's scattering seed. This farmer is very extravagant as he sows the seed, isn't he? He's not very mindful of where it's landing. If you've ever planted seeds, you don't just carelessly throw them to the wind, do you? Oh, no, maybe. I know my uncle never did. When I was little, I would have to help my uncle in the garden. And he would have these nice rows lined out for me. And he would tell me how many seeds and how many inches they needed to be apart. He was very meticulous when he sowed seeds. But not this farmer. Not the farmer in this story. So when I read that, and I think about that, and I think about Jesus using this parable to talk about how we are supposed to be in the world, We're supposed to be extravagant with God's love and God's word. What prevents us from being extravagant? Fear. Fear is a big one. I think also believing that we don't have enough. We don't have enough. That fear of not enough, not being good enough, not having enough, not getting enough, is something that drives our culture and is really antithetical to the gospel message. The gospel message is clear that there is enough. We just have to be better stewards of how we use it. There is enough. This part of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, the parable discourse, is a critical turning point in the narrative of the Gospel of Matthew. It's critical because right before this, Jesus is being ostracized and talked about by the Pharisees and those who don't want to have ears to hear or to listen to his message. They don't like the fact that he's healing on the Sabbath. They don't like the fact that he's eating with all sorts of people. Their ears are closed because of fear and the scarcity that there isn't enough. When we live in that fear and that scarcity that there isn't enough, we hold tight to what we have, and we really focus on that rather than being kingdom builders in the world, rather than doing God's justice, rather than being God's hands and feet in the world. Jesus embodies the kingdom of God. In this parable, theologian Dominic Crossan suggests that it is not the size of the harvest that's important. Remember at the end of the parable, it said some was 130, 60-fold. When it happened to get to the good soil, it produced a lot. Dominic Crossan suggests that it's not the size of the harvest that's important or that it happened at all. It is important that it happened at all against all sorts of opposition. There is a miraculous quality to it. The rocks, the path, the sun. It is a gift whose graciousness and surprise are meant to make us think of the kingdom of God. So, two things about being kingdom builders. Two things about the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be extravagant about it, and it's miraculous. And it pops up, and it happens when we seek to do justice and mercy in the world. And it pops up sometimes when we least expect it in the most unlikely ways. I read this New York Times article about this pastor. His last name is Williams. That was easy to remember. Jonathan Williams. And he is the evangelical pastor of the Forefront Church in Brooklyn. And he and his father had been a part of the evangelical church for a long time. And they're pretty important figures in the evangelical community. And at some point, Jonathan's father told him that he was going to be transitioning to become a woman. The church threw the father out. The son started the Forefront Brooklyn Church to be open and inclusive and inviting, but struggled at first with this reality, struggled with what his father was telling him and what that would mean. So after a couple of years, Paul Williams, who is now Paula Williams, wanted to see her grandchildren. And so Jonathan finally agreed. Now, this is the first time that they would see the person they knew as their grandfather as a woman. They call her Grand Paula. That's her name. And at one point, Grand Paula was holding the hands of her two grandchildren. And the two grandchildren were looking at her with eyes of love. Such love. Such openness. And at that moment, Jonathan realized that the way the children were looking at Grand Paula with loving and hope-filled eyes is the way that God looks at Grand Paula. That's a pocket of God's kingdom. Pockets of God's kingdom happen when we are willing to be open with our hearts, with our lives, when we're willing to touch others in the name of justice and mercy and compassion. The kingdom happens when we have the courage to stand up, to raise our voice, no matter how loud the opposition is. That seed was hardy. Against all opposition, there was a miraculous unfolding. How will you be a kingdom builder? How will you remember to be extravagant with your love and your mercy? How will you remember that you are part of this graciousness and this miraculous movement called the kingdom of God? That includes all God's children, that works for justice in the world, that seeks compassion in everyone's lives, and seeks wholeness for the body of Christ, wholeness for those who are broken. So while I was at this conference and I was driving home, I thought all about this. And I thought about all the ways and all the moments and all the times that I have that mentality that there isn't enough. There isn't enough hours in the day. There isn't enough money in the checking account. There isn't enough coffee to keep me awake. There isn't enough. There isn't enough people. There isn't enough. And how am I going to bring about God's kingdom? I am simply not enough. But I heard somebody speak once, and they were saying, just do something. Do something. If you don't like the way the world is right now, just do something. Anything. Start somewhere. Start small. Do something. And if you get it wrong, try again. Well, there was a few more swear words in there, but I omitted those. Do something. Do something in the name of Jesus, who taught us to embrace the stranger, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick and in prison, and love without boundaries, without condition. Only with mercy and grace in our hearts. May we all be kingdom builders, realizing that we are enough, we have enough, and it is miraculous when it happens. And God smiles, just like Grand Paula's grandchildren smiled at her. May it be so for each and every one of us that we remember. Amen.